This Paul W. Smith Show podcast is brought to you by Mesa, for good health, good business, and great schools.
This is a story that I really hate talking about. Even though Sophie always used to say, Daddy, we don't use the word hate. There's a lot of hate here. I despise this Dr. Fatah. He shouldn't be called a doctor anymore. Hasn't he been? I would hope he's been stripped of his medical credentials because he doesn't deserve them in any way. Nor does he deserve to ever see the light of day again at 6:17. This is the phase where we're hearing from the families, the victims, the people who have had their lives ruined by this monster. Brian McKean, managing a partner of McKean and Associates in Detroit, on the line with us. And you represent several of Dr. Fatah's victims, I'm told, Brian.
Good morning, Paul. Yeah, we do. We represent 9 or 10 of the families that have been involved and are investigating a number of other cases.
Is this like the worst thing you've ever had to deal with?
Well, over a span of 32 years of practicing law, I've seen some really horrible cases, but this one's certainly right up there at the top. And in terms of the number of people affected, this is certainly one of the biggest cases we've been involved in.
It's just it's especially heinous to me, this criminal activity that this doctor has admitted to. And there's no real way to make it right for the victims. Some are dead. Family members are hurting and still. And some of the folks that he practiced his evilness on are going to be affected for the rest of their lives. And many of their lives, I think, probably shortened by all of this. So the prosecutors are seeking a 175-year sentence, which is just barely enough. I think this guy's very lucky there isn't the death sentence available for something as heinous as this.
Well, that's true. And one of the things that impressed me the most about yesterday's hearing, which I sat through some of it, was the chain reaction of harm that was initiated by Dr. Fatah and how many people were affected. It's not just the patients who are affected, it's their families. They're affected in physical, emotional ways, financial ways. I mean, his malpractice caused tremendous hardship on these families in so many different respects, and really is a black eye for the medical community in general. And, of course, being a medical malpractice attorney, my objective is different than the prosecutor's, which is a criminal case. In our case, this is about accountability and compensation to the victims.
As you've mentioned, Brian McKean, an attorney who specializes in medical malpractice there at McKean and Associates in Detroit, the people who've come forward could be, as you mentioned, merely the tip of the iceberg. There could be many, many more people. And maybe you'll explain before we let you go what people should do if they feel that they have been victimized by this guy and they're just kind of coming to that realization. But the big question we keep hearing, and maybe, Brian, you have some insight, how did this guy continue to get away with this? He's surrounded by people in the medical community who should know better, basically, whether they're nurses or other doctors. How did this continue this way?
Well, Paul, you hit the nail right on the head, and that's one of the questions. You know, those are the questions that we're asking in the civil litigation. Who enabled him to continue on this way for so long? There was a case back in 2007 where Dr. Fatah was sued for providing chemotherapy to a patient who didn't have cancer. And why wouldn't the hospital at that point, the Crittenden Cancer Center, why wouldn't the alarms have been triggered and someone initiate an investigation as to what was going on with this person? There was a nurse, Angela, who worked for Fatah briefly, who saw that there were substandard practices occurring, and she was so disturbed by it, she left. She called the state. We believe she reported it to others. And the question is, why weren't people asking more questions? Why weren't people digging beneath the surface? And why wasn't Dr. Fatah discovered sooner?
Brian McKean is with us, managing partner of McKean and Associates in Detroit, a lead attorney representing several of Dr. Fatah's victims. And the question is, how can somebody treat to abuse more than 500 people with unnecessary treatments, people who didn't even have cancer in some cases, and in all cases, apparently, that are under discussion, way over-treating. In fact, a Harvard medical professor, Dr. Dan Longo, saying that Fatah performed a stunning number of rigorous and unnecessary treatments, and in situations where maybe someone should get 14 chemotherapy sessions, they got 140 or whatever it is. It's ridiculous numbers, and we're wondering how nobody stepped up and blew the whistle. Is this a situation we're seeing? Maybe it goes along with the doctors having a certain place in our society, and the people that work with them don't question what they're doing because they're the doctor, or what?
Well, that's certainly true, Paul, with respect to the patients. I mean, these patients, let's face it, they're turning to the doctor at the most vulnerable point in their life. They've just been diagnosed with cancer and told in some cases that they've got very, very serious cancers. And this is at a point in their life where they're just searching for a cure. And these people, we're taught as a culture to respect physicians, and it's appropriate that we do respect physicians, but it's essential that physicians not abuse patients' trust. In this particular circumstance, people did place their trust in Dr. Fata. They were recommended to the Crittenden Cancer Center, where Dr. Fata practiced, and the cancer center enjoyed a good reputation. And the question that you've been asking is the same question that many of the victims asked yesterday, is why wasn't he discovered sooner? Why didn't someone blow the whistle on him sooner? As you've pointed out, the evidence seems to suggest that there was a tremendous amount of chemotherapy being dispensed in that clinic, far in excess of what one would expect in a typical oncology clinic of that nature.
I hope that you don't find that it's all about the money. I hope, Brian, you don't find that people look the other way because everybody involved was doing so well financially from this machine, this evil machine of Fata.
Well, I hope so too, Paul, but that is the direction this investigation is taking. And as the investigation continues, we'll be asking those hard questions that you've asked and the victims have asked. And I'm not so sure we're going to like the answers, but that's what this process is all about.
And part of that process will be taking those people and those institutions, should there be any found that were negligent in their own duties and malpractice, there'll be other lawsuits is what it sounds like you're saying.
Well, there are other lawsuits, Paul. I mean, there's a number of cases pending right now against not only Dr. Fata, but a number of other individuals within his office, as well as the Crittenden Cancer Center.
Okay, well, hope that we get through this week. Please tell me, in your experience, Brian, as a seasoned malpractice attorney, there is no way in the world that this guy is going to see the light of day ever again. His people are asking for 25 years. That's their job. But please tell me it's going to be way closer to the 175 years with no chance ever for him getting out.
Well, that, of course, is up to Judge Paul Borman. I'm very confident in Judge Borman making the appropriate sentence. He patiently listened to all the victims' testimony yesterday. And if you were there in the court, as I was and Judge Borman was, you heard some very wretching tales about, just gut-wrenching tales about the harm and the series of horrors that were initiated by Dr. Fata. And I'm quite confident Judge Borman will do the right thing, that Dr. Fata will not ever see the light of day outside of a jail cell again.
Very good. Thanks, Brian. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Paul.
Brian McKean, malpractice attorney, managing partner of McKean and Associates in Detroit. He is representing several of this monster's victims.
Paul W. Smith breaks business news weekday mornings. Catch him live weekdays 5:30 to 9 on 760 AM. And streaming on WJR.com.